Well, let's get reaction to the Hobby Lobby decision. Luke Goodrich is Deputy General Counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, which argued the case for Hobby Lobby at the Supreme Court. And again, they won this victory, the court agreeing that the company doesn't have to offer emergency contraception coverage as required under the Health Care Act. And Luke, we heard the cheers of your supporters outside the courtroom. There must be some celebration.
We're very happy with the decision today. The court's decision is a great victory for religious liberty, and it shows that when somebody enters business, they don't have to check their religious beliefs at the door.
Well, this is the first time that justices have said that a corporation can have a religious view under federal law. But some here are wondering, could that in the future cut against your clients? Could a company's religious views be atheistic or requiring one faith's beliefs over another? There's a slippery slope question.
Well, of course, religious corporations have all sorts of beliefs all the time. You know, Starbucks will only buy fair trade coffee. Other corporations will only pay a living wage or engage in environmentally friendly practices. And we generally think as a society that it's a good thing for corporations to operate on the basis of ethical principles.
Yeah.
And here, the Green family did that, has been doing that for over 40 years, and the government was going to impose fines of over $400 million per year if they kept operating their business in accordance with their religious beliefs. So the court very sensibly said the government can't fine a business out of existence solely because of its owner's religious beliefs.
Well, and of course, some would say fair trade is not a religious belief, but the two companies in today's ruling did say, both of them said, they were willing to cover most methods of contraception, not those that they say can prevent an embryo from implanting. Couple of questions. They say that the morning after pill does that, but NPR's Carrie Johnson reminds us, scientists say that the methods these companies object to are not a form of abortion. It's way too early in the process. But also, there are 50 other businesses suing over covering contraceptives. Again, many of them accept most. But do you worry about the slippery slope there? Do any of your clients plan on going after birth control as well?
Well, the court issued a relatively narrow decision today. And as you point out, Hobby Lobby already covers 16 different kinds of contraception. So every employee gets free access to 16 different kinds of contraception. And in this case, the slippery slope actually works the other way. The state of Washington right now is considering a law that would force every business in the state of Washington to cover abortions, including late-term abortions. So every business in the state of Washington, if this decision hadn't come out that way today, could be forced to cover abortion, which would be deeply troubling to people of religious faith and just to people who object to abortion more generally.
That's Luke Goodrich, Deputy General Counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. They argued the case for Hobby Lobby at the Supreme Court. Big win for them today. Luke, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And let's bring in Judy Waxman, Vice President for Health and Reproductive Rights at the National Women's Law Center, which is dedicated to advancing women's equality and opportunity. Your reaction to the court's decision?
We are concerned that the Supreme Court today decided that some bosses can take away insurance coverage of birth control for their employees. I mean, we're talking about birth control here, where 99% of women in this country use birth control at some point in their life. And it's often not cheap, $50 a month even for basic pills. This is a serious blow to women.
Well, of course, we just want to repeat, this decision did not cover basic pills. It just covered the things that these companies were objecting to, which are emergency contraception like the IUD. But the IUD is very expensive.
It is. It could be $1,000. But I would beg to differ with you. The court talked about contraception.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that means a company can say, my religion trumps your religion, employees. I believe in religious liberty for me, not for you. And therefore, I can deny you coverage of any contraception.
So you don't think that this was a narrow decision regarding the emergency contraception these companies objected to?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Not only that, while this decision talks about employers using their religious beliefs to trump all contraception, I do believe, as did Justice Ginsburg in her dissent, they have opened the door to many, many other kinds of religious groups claiming they don't want to cover immunizations or blood transfusions or mental health services. The door is now wide open for corporations to say, my religious belief trumps your religious belief, and I win.
Well, what about the court urging the Obama administration to find another way to pay for this emergency contraception? They weren't saying outlaw it. They were saying, you know, have insurance companies, other outside insurance companies, pay for it.
Well, first of all, we object to the idea that contraception, and I want to say again, 99% of women in this country use contraception. Mm-hmm. We object to the idea that contraception should be in some special category by itself. The system they are talking about is relatively new. It's jerry-rigged. We don't know how it works, really. And I would also like to point out that there are many people that want to throw sand in the gears of that kind of jerry-rig system. Basically, birth control is a basic health service that almost all women in this country use for health care, and it is important that it be covered like every other service.
Judy Waxman of the National Women's Law Center, who sees today's decision as a slippery slope. Judy, thanks so much.
You're welcome.